That's a weak amen. 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 No, you gotta identify. Today is our day. Amen. When I stand here, I represent all the fathers. Amen. Amen. Order my steps in your word. And that's what we need, right? Because yes. Without the word of God, we will surely perish. Yes. Amen. We will be speaking on this great Father's Day to all of our fathers from the book of Proverbs. But before we do that, let us look to the Lord in prayer that he will guide us even as we speak. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Holy Spirit, you come and take full control. Speak your word and let your word go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. Come, Lord, I hide behind you and you take charge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Father's Day is a day that is celebrated remembering fathers, encouraging fathers, reminding fathers of who we are. Amen? And our fathers, if the mothers can say amen, I need the fathers to say amen. Amen. Because this is our day, right? Amen. So even as we talk this morning, we want to talk on from the book of Proverbs, passing the torch, wisdom for fathers. Passing the torch, wisdom for fathers. And this is our YouTube blurb, and it says that parenting can be real tough. Isn't that true? I got one amen. Thank you, Digo Dennis. It can be real tough, especially being a father. Because every father feels like there are right ways and wrong ways to do just about everything. But what does God's word say in regards to that? And we want to look at that this morning. For our eternal truth says that, now you see, I said, Christian fathers, I just didn't say fathers. Christian fathers are called to rule their guardians in God's word and anchor their minds in it, not just for personal preference. Because with God's word, it helped us as fathers to do what God has called us. If we went back in the book of Genesis, the first father, Adam and Eve, right? Adam in the book of Genesis, God created him, the first father of mankind. And he disobeyed God not by following God's rules. And what happened? Because of them, sin came into the world. But we're not speaking about Adam and Eve today. We want to talk about the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs this morning, as we look at fathers, this is a book that is kind of addressed to a son. And just a little bit of this book, it was written by Solomon. We all know who Solomon was. He's the son of King David, right? And as we will see later on in our message today, David, who disobeyed and slept with Bathsheba and gave birth to a child, and that child died, but David ended up marrying Bathsheba, and this child, Solomon, came into the picture, and imagine this child was the one whom God wants to lead the children of Israel. And God, before David could become king, after King Saul sinned against God, God said to Jesse, to Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse, for I have selected David, a man of my own heart. I want you to picture this, right? God was speaking about men, fathers. And he said David was the man of his own heart. And David became king, even though David may have falling by the wayside, but yet he remembered who God was and who God is in his life. He kept on serving, doing what was right in the sight of God. And today, David in Israel is one of the greatest kings ever in the history of the Israelites. And today, if you went to Israel, of all the kings and what have you, David is the only king that you can see his tomb still exists. I was privileged when I went, I saw his tomb. It's still exists. They honor him because of who he was as a child of God. And David must have instructed his son Solomon, because as we read the book of Proverbs, it tells us that Solomon gave advices. It's kind of centered around giving advices of his experience as a young man, as a king. Where did he get all the experience from? Where did he learn all these things from? As he passed on wisdom, he gained it from his father. Even though the book, the Bible, made, someone said, if everything that was done was written in the Bible, we would have, our Bible would be like this, right? And we won't be able to carry it around. But as I read, I tried to understand that Solomon must have spent enough time with his father, David, to the extent that David had an important role in his life, that he gained wisdom, he gained understanding, to the extent that even when Solomon became king, when God asked him, what do you want? And he requested, he said, God, give me wisdom. Who did he ask? His father. He asked his father, he said, give me wisdom so I will lead your people. And that's the wisdom, man, we need from our heavenly father to lead our family, to lead our community, to lead our church. Because without godly wisdom, we will perish. Amen? And the book of Proverbs highlights the pivotal role of fatherhood. And as we look at these verses, it tells us about the duty of a father to provide wisdom and discipline and profound impact in the lives of his family. It's a moral character that will leave a legacy in the lives of his family, his children. So this morning, what I want us to do is to focus, as we read, Deacon Moses read a passage this morning, we want to focus on a couple of languages in the passage. It talks about ways, it talks about path. And we will see in there that it gives three directions for father. Just three. We're going to talk about that three, because I know even though the women didn't give up breakfast this morning, they skipped. So my daughter asked me, no, when I came in the morning, someone asked me, said, no breakfast for the father? I said, well, they told us to drink some water. So I'm not going to hold us father too long. Amen. I love you, mothers. So this morning, we want to look at the book of Proverbs. We want to look at three things, three particular events that we father needs to father, that we can exhibit in our lives and kind of exhort ourselves of who we are. And here are the three directives we want to look at. The first thing we want to look at is the context, which is know the way. Know the way. And let's see what it says there in verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 to 19 says, he said, I have taught you in the what? Come on, our father is out there. You got to join me and preach your message. Way of wisdom. And then he said, I have led you in what? Right path. So there's a way and there's a what? Path. So now let's get down to verse. Continue reading. When you walk, your step will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her. for she is your life. And looking for his foot, he said, do not enter what? The path of the wicked. And do not walk in what? The way of the evil. Now, before going further, as we read, I said earlier, there's two things the prophet is saying here, Solomon wrote, instructing men, instructing fathers. And Solomon was giving the instruction to his children, to his sons. And this is what he said. These things, there's a path and there's a way. And in verse 14, the way, the path of the wicked is all considered as evildoers. And in verse 18 to 19, let's look in there. He said, but the path of the just is what? Like the shining sun. So the path of the wicked is what? Like darkness. And that's something we need to understand. There are two paths. The path of wicked that leads to the path of darkness, wickedness. And there's a way of what? Wisdom. And what does it lead to? The right path. And Solomon realized this, instructing us there are two paths and there are two ways. Now, what is happening here? The proverb is showing us that there are two contrasting ways of life. There is a way of righteousness, and there is a way of wickedness. There is a way of wisdom, and there is a way of following. There is a path that leads to what? Life. And also a path that leads to blessing. And there's a path that in no doubt that sometimes leads to destruction, that will sometimes ruin your life, and there's sometimes the path you take will lead you to death. And this is why Solomon is saying that fathers, he instructed his son, he said, this is what you need to do. And as father, you need to know the way so that we can instruct our family, our children, our church, so that they will gain wisdom, and that wisdom will lead to life and blessing. In other words, Father, what are you going to do henceforth before your children in the way of the Lord? The first thing is that you should know the way. Because if you don't know the way, you don't know the way, how can you lead the way? How can you teach? How can you lead your family? And that is why wisdom will lead to life. And when it leads to life, and this is where our job as father to come in and lead in that way. Why? Because knowing the way, we follow God's instructions. We don't follow our own instructions. We gain wisdom from God. We gain wisdom from his word. We gain wisdom so that we will embrace the good path and make it clear that there is no way we can choose our own path. Choosing our own path without God leads us in the wrong direction. And that's why Solomon rejects the notion that even though there are two paths, two ways, but guess what? Or joining with God or joining without God. Either you join with God with wisdom in the right path, or you join without God on the wrong path to wickedness and darkness. Remember, Christ called us to self has to die, right? We have to allow self to die, that he takes control of us and allow him to shape some areas of our lives while he takes control. And yes, and we cannot keep holding on to other things in our life and expect God to take full control of our lives. We have to allow God to take full control and release everything, and allow him to lead us, and we will follow the way. And that's why Solomon kind of speak on. And by staying on the path, on the wrong path, the outcome is clear. Staying on the right path leads to wisdom, leads to godliness, but the wrong path leads to deep darkness, as we see in verse 19 there. It leads to deep darkness, and where sin becomes controllable in our lives. Sin controlled our life, and we are blinded by it, and soon we cannot connect ourselves with God, our eternal Father. But here's the thing. This is a warning that we ought to warn our children to avoid the path of the wicked and not even set foot on it. Don't follow the wrong crowd, or don't compromise your faith for the sake of acceptance. No. Instead, seek the truth way. Follow the way. Know the way and the path, the way of wisdom, not just any way, but the way of wisdom, we will lead you in the right path. So first thing, Father, we ought to know the way. And knowing the way will help us direct our family, direct our children, lead our church, lead, serve in our community, and do great things in our community. And the second directive in there we see is the command. Teach the way. Teach the way. In verse 1 to 4, hear what he says there. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I gave you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, now he speaks of his father David. He said, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Now, you see, there's a strong emphasis in this part here that we just read. Instruction that we found through all the proverbs. We can see in the passage that he's passing on wisdom and instruction to the next generation. And that is one of our duties as father. Passing on instruction to our children. How to live. How to do things. And here's the thing. It's difficult. Because sometimes you want to do it your way. The hard way. But allow God to lead you to do it in the right way. Amen? Amen. Now, we can see that there are actually three features in this passage as we look here, right? And it's like a three-legged stool. When a stool has three legs, if you pull one leg up, what happened to it? There is no balance in there, right? So it needs all three of its legs to be stable. And as we go through the book of Proverbs, it tells us about three features that needs to be a part of our life as father to be able to teach our children, to lead our children. And the first feature we want to talk about is affection. Look at in verse we read out earlier, in the affection, the tone of how he cares about his children. Here is a father who, with great affection and great earnestness, is taking time to communicate with his child. Communicate wisdom. He shared his learned wisdom to his children because of the love that he has for his children. He shared. And throughout the scripture, when God is referred to as the Father, especially in the Old Testament and over again going into the New Testament, Jesus, even the apostle, when they emphasize and speak about God the Father, it shows about who God is. This loving father, this patient father, this understanding father who cares about his children. Even when we fall, when we go astray, he never turns his back on us. His love for us continue when we sin against him. He still loves us. He opened arms to accept us. He showed that love, that compassion, not hatred for us. And that's the thing that, Father, sometimes our children will do wrong. They will go astray. And you're angry. But anger cannot solve the problem. Anger cannot bring them back to where you want them to be. It's only love. You got to love them for who they are and what to do. And that's why Solomon, he said, hear my children, the instruction of Father, and give attention to knowing, for I gave you good doctrine. Do not forsake my love. Show them love, care for them, and that will help them grow in the right path. And he shows that the temperament of a father who, that even God himself, in his tender compassion, God himself, in his mercy, God himself as the father, show affection for his children, for us. And it kind of characterize who God is and how we, as fathers, how can we live our lives. And the next affection we see in there, the next discipline is, in order to teach, we also must discipline. And there were the scripture about the rod, right? Spare the rod and spoil the child, right? Use the rod. Now, I was reading some commentary, and there were some scholars who were saying that when the passage, it wasn't referring to the scripture. It wasn't referring to the scripture, and it says that it's a misunderstanding of the entire content of this scripture. It's not referring on that parents should spank a child or do this. No. It was referring to children that are stubborn, hard-headed, criminal mind, or what have you. Beat them up and punish them. Give them corporal punishment. And another person said, other commentary said, no. But you see, even with all of what I saw in them, yes, what I think. Even though there are two things, one thing I say that is that it's wrong to beat your child, to harm them, to cause harm to your child, cause emotional effect, that become traumatized. It's wrong to do that. But notwithstanding, they also need to be disciplined. Now, here's the thing. You cannot be angry and disciplined. Because when anger takes hold of you, you will not instill the right discipline in your child. You need to relax, calm down, take a breath, thank you, and approach them. If you're going to punish them that they don't need to go to the ER. Punish them that they are not being abused physically. No. You can still punish them. Punish them that they will understand. They need still punishment that they know that, listen, for every wrongdoing, there is a consequence. And you ought to live for the repercussion of every wrongdoing. Why you do that? So that when they grow up tomorrow, they will have in mind that in society, I have to do right. Because if I can't do right at home and not be punished the right way, when I get out in society, I'm going to start doing wrong, and society is going to punish me. I'm going to end up in jail, or I'm going to end up being dead the wrong time when I'm not supposed to be dead. And that's where we need to come in as father. So, Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hits his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Amen? Now, I don't say go home now and say, oh, Pastor Sam, I'm going to discipline you promptly. But in the way of the Lord. Amen? And look at Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. They think they're smart. They think they know everything. Especially this generation. With internet, everything. You know, I was telling my kids, I said, they'll be asking me some questions because I was born in Africa, Liberia. When I tell them, I said, listen, all that you guys have, I never had that when I was growing up. The only time I get to see my friends either with me on the soccer field or at school, there was no phone. I didn't have landline or phone in my house to call And the TV I watched was black and white, very small. This side is bigger than it. And I watched TV once a week. And that was on Saturday. But you got TV in your room. You got everything. You got iPad, cell phone, everything. I never had all that when I was growing up. So they can be here and communicating with somebody in Japan. But with all of that, we have to instill discipline in our children. Because guess what? They are the generation. We instill wisdom so that they can grow tomorrow and become leaders and fathers and mothers for their family too. Amen? And the third instruction here is, the 13 is the feature of instruction. Look at, and this is where parents will fail, instructing our children in the word. Look what it says there. You shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your what? Strength. And the next thing says, and these words which I command you today shall be where? In your heart. In your heart, you shall what? Diligently. To what? Your children. And shall what? Talk of them when you what? Sit in your house. When you what? Walk. Now today, we don't walk. We don't do walk. A lot of walking. Even to go to the grocery store, we get in car, right? We don't do walking. But when you're taking them to the soccer game, you're taking them to the cheerleading game, you're taking them for whatever activity, talk to them. That's the time you open the conversation. You know, I love my wife when all the kids in the car and they want to, she said, oh, it's family talk time. Put the iPad away, put everything. And she would be throwing questions back and forth. And just want to engage with them because they would sit right in there with an iPad and like they are, you're not even existing. They're in different world. So put everything away. Let's have conversation. Let's know what's going on. If you pick them up from school, talk with them. By the time you get home, talk with them. We know our world is so crazy. We don't have time to have family dinner nowadays because parents working different shifts. We don't have the opportunity to sit. And guess what? Ms. Gloria, Mickey Stan or something. My phone is somewhere right there. But he said, you know what Satan is doing? He's making us so busy that we lose the most important thing, our family, God, spending time with God. We don't have time for that anymore. And that's what's happening nowadays. And it kind of takes us away from us, especially father, to spend time with our family. We work 24/7. We forget about spending time with our children, engaging them. And that's why the scripture says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, sometimes you pass by some people's house, you see a beautiful sign on their door, the Lord is my shepherd. And different signs, you know, you enter in the house, you see a beautiful scripture engraved on a portrait there. It's beautiful. And this is why we as fathers need to engage in our children. How can we instruct them? Now we can do it both formal or informal. The formal way is bring your children to church. Don't stay home and say them, you gotta come. Let them follow you. Send them to Sunday school. Send them to different activities in the church. We got youth group. We got WANA. All these things. That's the formal way. Guess why? Because they spend 5 days with you at home. And maybe 2 days at church. Because yeah, Friday and Sunday. And here at church, maybe just 2 hours with me with them. But it's, make them involved. Even in the community, if there's Christian activity, get them involved. So that they can know the word of God. Because when they are not involved, they will not grow. They cannot learn what they have not been taught. They will spend time talking with their friends and not even talking with God. And that's why it's important. And in informal ways, it's what we just said. You, Father, it is your responsibility to teach your children. Teach them the word of God. Let them understand what God's word says. Let them know that God gave them to you. You are responsible. You know, the important thing is that when we teach them, when we instruct them, God's word is powerful. No matter, they may not take it as you want it now, but guess what? God says his word will never return to him void. And those words, when our kids grow up in Sunday school, grow up in Awana, grow up in youth group, come to church, they learn, when they walk out of our doors and become men and women of their own, sometime in their life they will remember those words, because that's when God's word takes effect in their lives. So don't overlook it. That's our responsibility, to teach them. Our world is going astray. Things are happening that never happened before. And now, today, our children don't even love church. They don't even love coming together. Even at youth group, we said we're having free food. They don't even want to come. We said free this. They don't even show up. We call them parents. Imagine this. When we were growing up, we were eager to be to church because we know that that's where all the fun is. We want to see our friends. We want to hang out with our friends. We want to come around. But today, it is not. It is not. And you think the devil is not playing a part? He is. Of course he is. And that's why he's doing everything. And this is why we have to stand up as fathers of our family to make sure that Satan does not take them away from us. And that's why Solomon instructed and gave wisdom, because with wisdom, it will help lead on the right path. And that leads us to our third directive, the core. Lead the way. Lead the way. In verse 4, 10 to 13, he said, "Hear my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be what? Many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom." And he said what? "I have what? Led you in right path." And this is where we come in as dad, as fathers. Lead our children. We should be the example that our children follow. We can say one thing and then mean different thing. The children today are very smart. They will ask questions that we didn't even ask our parents when we were little. Because by the time you want to say, "Oh, go sit over there." But they want to know everything. Especially in my family, the one that asks a whole lot of questions, she will ask one question, turn it around four different times, Eskima. She will ask that question four different times. Even if you're not paying attention, she will call you and ask you the question again. And if you don't have patience to lead, to teach them, they're going to go somewhere else to learn something from the internet. And the internet is good, and not everything that comes on the internet will be beneficial to them. But this is where we need to take the Bible, the Word of God, to teach them and lead. Because if we can't lead, they're not going to follow. We have to lead them. He said, when you walk, because when you walk, your step will not be what? Hinder. And when you run, you will not what? Stumble. Take from hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your what? Life. And that's the most important thing. Now, there was a story I read. It said above four preachers, and they got together and they asked question. And they were kind of debating the best translation of the Bible, which one is the best. And the other preacher said, I love the King James Version. He said, it's very, very, very detailed. I love it. And the other one said, no, I don't love the King James Version. The second one said, I love the American Standard Version. He said, that is the most accurate version. And it gave literally the original language. And the third one said, no, I love the NIV because the NIV kind of speak directly today to our modern language. And he looked up to the third preacher and he asked him, and he said, the version that I love and support the most is the Living Bible translation. And he looked at him and said, but there is no version called Living Bible translation. He said, it's a phrase. He said, I'm not talking about the Living Bible translation phrase. I'm talking about the Living Bible that I saw in my father that made me to be who I am today. Amen. We as father, let God's word be seen through us. That our children will follow, will live. He said, I see my father, I live with my father, and I saw the Bible in my father. And his is the Living Bible that makes me who I am today, that transformed me today, that makes me the man I am today, because I saw it in him. And that's who we all need to be. He said, and that means that even in his character, in his attitude, in his relationship, in his devotion, his commitment. He said, I saw all of that in him, and that makes me who I am. And that's who we are. We ought to be fathers. We should be the Living Bible that others can see God in us. Our children can see God in us. Our children can follow. Our children can live and serve God in the right way that God has called them. Is it easy? No. It's hard. But guess what? God has promised us that he would never leave us and he will never forsake us. And if we follow his path, if we walk according to his will, if we seek his will, we seek wisdom from God, we seek understanding, we will be able to lead our children in the right path. But if we fail, we will lead them into the wrong path, which is total darkness. And here's the thing, church. We have to live by example. Leading by example and in admitting mistakes, Father. If you're wrong, hey, get your children. Tell them I'm wrong. Don't be too big and say, oh no, I'm the father, I can't be wrong. No. Guess what? If you're wrong, you create an avenue that they not trust you. They believe you, that you are their father, you can make mistakes. And that relationship grows. You know, I tell you a story with my daughter. Well, it involves one or two things. We came from our first Nokia after COVID. And there was some text message going around him. And she said, we asked her, she said, Daddy, I wasn't into it. And I got angry with her. I blasted at her, talked to her, I said she was wrong. But the thing is that she went and deleted the messages. So I was convinced that she did it. But the phone broke. We went to fix the phone. And I was able to retrieve all of the messages. And I saw all the messages. And she did not write one comment of all the things. And I realized I was wrong. I accused her. So I called her. I said, Leslie, come. And I apologized to her and talked to her that I was wrong. I was angry. And I said what I shouldn't say, and I did what I shouldn't have done as a father. Because I want her to trust me as a father. I want her to build that relationship that she can trust me, I can trust her. Not only her, but all of our children. And sometimes we are hasty in making decisions, right? And come to conclusion, because especially we get mad with our kids. But being angry cannot fix it. We have to approach them, especially who they are, where they are, and love them for who they are, and love them in the appropriate way, show care, sometimes give them a hug. Just show that you are there for them. And that's where God wants us as Father. Now, even as we close, come to a close, I told Father, because we got to go eat some of our dinner this afternoon. Even as we close, there are a couple of things we want to close up with. What does that mean? I didn't put that there, but number one thing, to teach the way, you have to know the way yourself. Fathers, you cannot teach what you don't know. You can't give what you don't have. You can't share what you have not experienced. So that you need to be in God's word to be able to what? Share God's word, to be able to teach God's word. You need to have a devotional life. You need to have a time reading the Bible. You need to have a time that you need to grow yourself in understanding the truth so that you'll be able to communicate what you learn from God's word to your children. If you don't know it, you won't teach it. And the second thing here is teaching takes time. It may not happen right away. The result may not be now. But what you need to do, don't be the dad that will be a thing. That you don't want to be there. You don't want to be bothered. You want to be on the sideline. Don't be a sideline father. Be on the field with them. Be in their life when they are struggling. You know, someone said, if you listen to when children doing good, they can say, oh, the dad can say, oh, that's my daughter, that's my son. But when they're going astray, say, that's your daughter, that's your son. No, what a wrong astray, be there for them. Because you cannot impact when you are not there. And it takes the word of God, which gave wisdom, to be able to impact wisdom, to be able to teach, to be able to lead. And these three things, as Solomon said, if fathers, we can grab hold of these three things, we will be able to do great things in the life of our children. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. We commit all of our fathers into your hands, O God. We cannot do this journey without you. We thank you for your word that you've given us. And help us, O God, that we will stand firm in your word and know that you have called us to lead our family, our children, our community, our church. And we need to seek you diligently with all our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom you've given. We thank you for the knowledge, and help us to be the father figure everywhere we go, that we will have impact. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The praise team will come in.
Hey, you know, as we kind of wrap up, a lot of times, you know, we'll ask the blessing for dinner, and even my little grandson at 3, he knows how to say amen. He doesn't know how to pray, but he says amen, right? And we all do that. But I want to share, you know what Pastor Anson said, you know what, as men, we got to know the way. We got to love our kids, affection. We got to discipline them, and that's hard. We got to instruct them, and that's vital. And then we got to lead the way. That's what we're saying amen to. Not that we're going home or we're done, right? We're saying amen to God, that's what I need to do. And I just want to encourage us as men. Man, that's a tall order, isn't it? We can't do it without God's Holy Spirit. We can't do it. So let's just pray. Let's dig in God's word so we can really say amen by our actions, not just our words. If you're a visitor today, we got a little gift for you in the back. We'll get you right in the back in that conference room. And two last quick announcements. One is we have two interviews for baptism, room 18. We're going to pick that right up right after church. And then for our VBS, which is coming up so fast, our decoration team, someone said to announce this, is meeting next Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll email you guys, send a robocall as well. But just be aware of that, okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Lord, in one of the toughest days, maybe at least it seems, to raise our children, help us, Lord, to be fathers, Lord, like you are to us. Father, Solomon understood. It was difficult for him too. But I pray, dear God, that we would embrace those principles that you gave us today, that Pastor Ansu shared so passionately. And I ask, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts and work in our kids as we move forward. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people say, well, amen.